All right, well, good morning.
Good morning, Eric.
Would you turn with me to the book of Galatians, chapter 6? Galatians, chapter 6, and I'd like to speak to you this morning from just the first two verses of this chapter. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. This is the word of God. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would use our time together, use this message to conform us to your image. Help us to bear one another's burdens. Help us, Lord, to learn what it means to support and encourage one another through these verses. And please transform us and help us to put into practice what we see here this morning. Amen. Well, how many of you have heard the old proverb that it takes a village to raise a child? Well, probably heard this proverb before. Well, what does this proverb mean? It means that a child's community has a very significant role to play in his or her maturation and development. Parents play a huge role in raising a child, but they're not the only ones. Friends, extended family, teachers at school, a child's church family, all of these people play a role in teaching and shaping that young child. I've been shaped in various ways by peers at school, by my teachers, by the church, as all of us have. The community that we're in has a formative role in shaping who we are and what our values are. And thus, it takes a village to raise a child. Well, in a similar way, I want to tell you this morning that it takes a church to raise a Christian. It takes a church to raise a Christian. What do I mean by that? Just as a young child needs a community of people to learn, grow, and mature, Christians need a church community to grow as believers. The Christian life should be a process of growth and maturity. Just let me read one verse for you, which describes growth in the Christian life. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Listen to this. Scripture says, "Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation." And so from this verse, we see that a young Christian is like a newborn baby. Now, when a person is a physical newborn, right out of the womb, they are immature. They can't do anything for themselves. They require a parent to do everything for them. But as an infant grows and matures, that young child becomes more and more competent to do things on their own. They begin to walk, begin to eat by themselves, they begin to think for themselves, they begin to converse with others, and then eventually they reach full adulthood. Now, in a similar way, when a person is spiritually born again into a new creature through faith in Christ, well, when they're born again, they are a spiritual infant, immature and young in their faith. See, before a person comes to faith in Christ, their lives are characterized by sin and by rebellion against God. They do not live up to His commandments, nor seek to honor Him with how they live. But when a person comes to faith in Christ, they are reborn into new people. This new spiritual birth should produce a change in them whereby they begin a process of spiritual growth. And so in their lives, they look more like Christ on a day-to-day basis. Sin has less control over them, and holiness becomes more normal. Now, of course, this process is a gradual one, and nobody is ever totally free of sin in this life. In fact, it can be an up-and-down process, too. It's not always straight up. Sometimes we go through periods of hardship where we struggle more with sin. But as a person grows in Christian maturity, sin becomes a more infrequent occurrence in their lives, and holiness becomes a more defining characteristic of how they live. According to Romans chapter 8, verse 29, the purpose of salvation is to conform us to the image of Christ. That is the end goal of salvation. Salvation is not simply a get-out-of-jail-free card. It is not simply fire insurance to keep us from hell. Salvation is much more than that. It is a living, dynamic reality in the life of a Christian that produces moral change in how we think and in how we live. This is the purpose of salvation. But God uses means to accomplish His purposes. He does not zap us into immediate maturity. He uses means to accomplish our sanctification. So, what are the ways in which He grows us? Well, we could name several. The Bible, the Holy Spirit, prayer. All of these means help us become more holy and more conformed to the image of Christ. But there is another means that God uses to conform us to His image. And that is fellow Christians. Other Christians play an important role in Christian maturity. You see, sanctification requires a community effort. Sanctification is not something that is meant to be carried out individually. Sanctification is not something that simply happens when you're alone in your room with your Bible and the Holy Spirit. It requires other believers. It requires community. Growth as a Christian requires the support, encouragement, and influence of those sitting next to you. And so just as it takes a village to raise a child, it also takes a church to raise a Christian. And so this morning, we're going to look at just two verses. And in these two verses in Galatians 6, we're going to see the responsibilities that we have toward each other to help one another grow and mature in holiness. And by carrying out these responsibilities, we will be God's instrument to help others grow in their faith. Remember, as I said, it takes a church to raise a Christian. So, in these two verses, we're going to see the role that we have to play in each other's growth, and we're also going to see that we need the help of other people as well. Right, we should be helping other people and receiving help from others as well. So in Galatians 6, let's just consider what these verses have to say, and then we'll consider what it looks like to put this into practice. Verse 1 of Galatians 6. If anyone is caught in a transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Now we know that no Christian is perfect. In fact, in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, Scripture says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. We all struggle with indwelling sin. But at times, a Christian may be caught in a habitual sin that they are having difficulty breaking out of. And this is why the verse says, if anyone is caught in a transgression. A transgression is simply a violation of God's commandments. And so the language here suggests that this transgression, this wrongdoing, is something that a believer is stuck in, that they repeatedly fall into. It is something that characterizes their life frequently. The sin is not a one-time, out-of-the-ordinary slip-up. It is something they find themselves stuck in and cannot seem to break out of. A couple of years ago, my roommate and I, Moody, were walking in Chicago during a very heavy blizzard. And as we walked down the street, the snow was falling very, very rapidly. And we encountered somebody whose car was stuck deep in the snow that had piled up on the street. The snow was coming down so fast that the plows were unable to keep up with it. And there was a man who was driving, and he had tried to make a turn, and the snow was so deep that his wheels had gotten stuck in the snow, and he couldn't go anywhere. He kept hitting the gas on his car, but his wheels kept spinning and just digging him deeper into the snow, and he couldn't get out. And then he tried to get out and push his car, but He was an elderly man and he didn't have the strength to get his car out of the snow. He was completely stuck and unable to get himself out. So my roommate and I, we got behind his car and we were able to push him so that he was able to get out of the snow and go back to driving. And I think this is the imagery here in this verse. Being stuck, being caught, being trapped, being unable to move out of the sin. Sometimes that's how we as Christians find ourselves. We find ourselves at times caught in sin, and it seems that the temptation or the habit is so great that we simply cannot get out of it by ourselves. No matter how many times we vow to forsake a certain behavior or lifestyle, we continually find ourselves frustrated and disappointed when we repeatedly fall back into it. Have you ever felt like that? Do you know that sense of frustration over your sin? Do you know what it is like to hate sin and to long for holiness? If you're a follower of Christ, I hope that you do. In fact, this longing for holiness should be characteristic of the Christian life. In Romans chapter 7 and verse 15, the Apostle Paul describes his own struggle with sin, and he says, "I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate." Every follower of Christ who is sincere about pursuing holiness should know what this tension is like. We live in this tension of wanting to please God on the one hand and be holy because we are new creations in Christ. And yet on the other hand, we are still in the flesh and tainted with indwelling sin. And at times that indwelling sin can overtake us and perhaps consume our lives, and we find ourselves stuck and unable to break out of it. It's in those times that we need fellow Christians to come alongside of us and help push us out of the rut that we find ourselves stuck in. In those times, we need people to stand with us and give us the support, encouragement, and guidance necessary to break free. And then Galatians 6, verse 1 says that this is to be done in a spirit of gentleness. That is, when we help somebody who is caught in a lifestyle of sin, we are not to correct them angrily or harshly. Our motive should not be to belittle them, put them down, or make them feel bad about themselves. Our goal should be to gently build them up and encourage them. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 10, Scripture says that God disciplines us for our good so that we may share in His holiness. So when God brings discipline into our lives, He does it out of a pure and a loving heart. And what's His motivation? God's motivation and discipline is to help us be more holy. And likewise, when we help someone who is stuck in sin, we should have one singular motivation: to help that person be more holy. If we're helping somebody or providing support to someone, this should not be done out of arrogance or out of a desire to make ourselves look holier than thou. It's to be done out of a desire to help them be holy. And so in verse 2, Scripture gives another command, and verse 2 of Galatians 6 complements and expands upon verse 1. And it says, 6:2, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." When we assist those who are struggling with sin, we bear a burden with them. Have you ever had to carry something very heavy by yourself? A very heavy load. This is the metaphor used here to describe a Christian who is caught under the weight of his or her own sin. A friend told me a story about a family who was packing to go on a trip. And this family had three children who were around 7 years old. And they were going on a long trip, And so their luggage was very heavy. And as this family went through the airport, the three children, their backpacks were so heavy that they actually had trouble walking and staying upright without falling over. The load on their little backs was so heavy, they couldn't hold the whole thing by themselves. And so to help them carry this heavy backpack, the parents got behind them and held on to the handles on top of their backpacks as they walked. And when the parents held on to the backpack, it helped ease some of the weight on the children's back. And it made it possible for them to walk. This is similar to what we do when we come alongside others and help them when they are caught in a lifestyle of sin. At times, the weight or the burden of sin can be so great that it feels crippling, it feels painful, and it can feel demoralizing. It can be easy sometimes in the Christian life to get discouraged and want to give up. It's easy to say, well, I'm stuck in this sin. I've been stuck so long. I've failed so many times. I won't even try to fight it anymore. Sometimes the weight of the burden can do that to us. But it's in those times when we feel that burden, when we feel that weight, that we need someone to come alongside of us and bear the burden with us. We need somebody to help us and ease the load. And so verse 2 says that we need to bear one another's burdens, and it says that when we do this, we fulfill the law of Christ. Now let's ask the question, what does it mean to fulfill the law of Christ? Well, real briefly, let's look back at Galatians 5 and verse 14, because I think this helps shed light on it. Because it refers to the law being fulfilled here as well. It says Galatians 5:14, the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Right, there are a lot of laws in the Old Testament, but ultimately, they're meant to teach us how to love one another. And when we love our neighbor as ourselves, we do all that the Old Testament law was meant to accomplish. And the sacrifice of Christ on the cross is the highest example of love, giving of oneself for another. Right? Christ is the fulfillment of the law because Christ perfectly kept the law. He did what we could not have done. He kept the law, meaning that he perfectly loved. And so when we bear each other's burdens, we exemplify Christ-like selflessness and sacrifice for others. Christ fulfilled the law through loving sacrificially. And similarly, when we bear the burdens of others, we love other people sacrificially as Christ loved us. And thus, we love one another as ourselves, which is what Galatians 5:14 talks about. When we bear one another's burdens, we exemplify Christ-like selflessness. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, listen to what Scripture says. 1 John 3:16. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Right? It can be exhausting to help somebody who's struggling. Being a burden bearer sometimes isn't easy. There are more fun ways to spend our time than helping and encouraging others. But that's why it's a personal sacrifice. It's something we do for the sake of another, not for our own gratification. And that's an act of love. So, we've seen some principles and some instruction from this text. But let's talk now a little bit more practically and a little more concretely about how we can implement and follow the commandment in this verse. How can we go about helping one another, and how can we go about receiving help from others? Let's talk about that now. You know, maybe you're somebody here who is currently stuck in a pattern of sin that you cannot seem to break by yourself. And there are numerous options for what it could be. An addiction of some sort, a pattern of behavior you regularly fall into, Maybe the sin that has overtaken you could also have to do with your inward thought life. You know, sin isn't just what we do, it's also what we think. You could be stuck in a habit of anger, lust, hatred, bitterness. Perhaps those things are consuming your life and eroding your walk with God. There are several possibilities of what you might be going through. And maybe it's not something catastrophic that's ruining your life. Maybe it's just the day-to-day struggles. Whatever the case may be, I'm sure that some of us here are weighted down with a burden of sin, a spiritual struggle of some kind. Maybe some of us have been coming to church for a long time, and when we come to church on Sunday mornings, we shake hands and smile and tell everyone that we're doing great, when in reality we've been allowing a particular sin or a habit to stay in the dark. You know, when we keep sin in the dark, it grows. Satan loves to keep us isolated and alone. In fact, whatever struggle you're facing right now, it could be a sin, it could just be a difficult situation you're going through, a hardship of some kind, whatever the case is, the struggle that you're facing right now, Satan's number one strategy is to get you discouraged. Because if Satan can get you discouraged, then maybe he can get you to give up and just let your sin fester in the dark. If Satan can get you discouraged, then you'll say, well, I never experienced victory anyway, so what's the point in trying? Or if Satan can get you discouraged, then you'll say, I've screwed up so many times, God is done with me. He doesn't love me anymore. So not only does Satan want to get us discouraged, he wants us to doubt the promises of the gospel. I heard John MacArthur say that once, and it always stuck with me, the twofold strategy of Satan, discouragement and doubt. He wants to get you to doubt the promises of the gospel. 1 John 1:9, I think we read it earlier, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is God's promise to you if you're a follower of Christ, but Satan wants you to doubt that. He wants you to think that God no longer desires a relationship with you. He wants you to think the cross of Christ is insufficient for whatever sin you're struggling with. He wants you to think you've blown it so many times that the blood of Christ cannot possibly cover what it is that you're going through. This is, of course, a lie, but when we are weighted down with sorrow and frustration and defeat, this is the lie Satan wants to feed us in order to keep us stuck in sin. He wants to feed us a kind of works-based Christianity where we earn our favor with God through performance. He wants us to say, well, I've performed so badly, God is done with me, so I'm going to give up and not even keep trying because I've already blown it. This is the kind of attitude that can come about when we let sin hide in the dark. And if you're going through that type of a situation, then right now what you need is a burden bearer. If you're in that situation right now, you need somebody to come alongside of you and help you carry the weight so that it doesn't crush you. Sin thrives in darkness. And I speak from experience when I say that simply getting it out in the open, telling somebody about what you're going through, can significantly help you heal and grow. Right? It's easy to feel stigmatized and filled with shame when we let our sin fester alone in the dark. But healing comes when we bring sin into the light. When you tell someone about your struggle, and they love you, support you, and encourage you, and accept you in spite of your imperfections, that helps remind us of God's unconditional love and grace for us. It reminds us of the gospel in the midst of our struggles. Now, maybe you do not find yourself struggling with a habitual or constant sin. You know, as I mentioned earlier, maybe it's not something catastrophic that's ruining your life. But that doesn't mean that you have no need of a burden bearer. All of us here, no matter where we're at, need support. And it doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian, 20 years, 30 years, you have not arrived yet. And all of us, no matter our maturity, need someone to bear burdens with us. So this passage in Galatians applies to all of us here. It applies to all of us because none of us can do the Christian life by ourselves. Remember what I said, it takes a church to raise a Christian. Sanctification should be a community effort, not something we do individually. So here's the question I want to ask. I want to consider this question. What would it take for you to develop safe relationships with fellow believers so that you can discuss the challenges you face in your walk with Christ? What can you do to reach out to somebody and to find somebody to bear the burdens with you? Let me give some suggestions for how to do that. How it is that you can find a burden bearer. First suggestion I have is this. Be willing to be vulnerable. Be willing to be vulnerable. It can be intimidating, it can be frightening to open up to somebody about our struggles, but it's necessary. It's difficult to admit that we are imperfect and need help. But this is also one of the ways that God helps us grow. And your own growth will be stunted if you try to do the Christian life alone. So be vulnerable. Be willing to admit that you need the help of others. And be willing to admit to somebody that you are imperfect. And let them see maybe a darker side of you that you're not as comfortable with or not as proud of. Be willing to be vulnerable. And then second, identify people that you feel you can open up to. Identify somebody you could open up to. And be discerning here, because we should not confide in or open up indiscriminately to everybody. Find somebody who is mature in their faith, grounded in Scripture. Find somebody who is a good listener, who's considerate, who's non-judgmental. Of course, a burden bearer needs to tell the truth honestly at times, but Galatians 6 also says that a burden bearer should be gentle as well. So find somebody who exhibits that balance of grace and truth. Someone who will tell you the truth when you need to hear it, but also love you and bear with you. Third suggestion for finding a burden bearer. After you've identified someone, reach out to this person and ask if they would be willing to support or encourage you. Talk to them in person, give them a call, send them an email, whatever you're comfortable with. Reach out to them. So first, be vulnerable. Second, identify someone. Third, reach out to someone. And then fourth, set up a regular time to meet with this person. Set up a regular time to meet with this person. Now, I know this could be quite a challenge because so many of us here live far away, work long hours, endure painful traffic jams just to get anywhere. I know that's not easy. But make it a priority to meet with your burden bearer as regularly as you can. And if you can't meet up regularly, at least talk on the phone, talk on Skype regularly. And then fifth, be committed. Be committed. It's easy to take these steps and reach out to somebody, but it's just as easy to lose commitment after a short time and let the relationship fizzle out. Don't let it. You need people to support you and help you grow. It takes a church to raise a Christian. You can't do it alone, so don't try. Now, each one of us needs to find somebody to support us, but we also have a responsibility to support others. Right? Just because you need help yourself does not mean you cannot help others. We all need a mentor, and we also need someone else that we can mentor. We all need to receive encouragement and support from other people. And then, when we have been fed, when we have been built up ourselves, we need to give back support and encouragement to others who are in need. So let me give a few suggestions now for how you can be a burden bearer yourself, how you can support others. First piece of advice I have is this. Be approachable and be available. One of my mentors gave me this advice. Be approachable and be available. Let the way that you interact with others show a genuine care for what they are going through. Right? Don't be standoffish or uninterested in the difficulties that others are facing. Show that you care and make time to meet with people. Be willing to sacrifice your own time to spend with people when they need it. Because when we set aside time to meet with people, it shows that they are a priority to us. So let your schedule reflect your priorities. Being a burden bearer will be costly for your time. But being approachable and being available means that people know you're someone who's willing to sacrifice to help them. Be available to people. And then second, and related to this first suggestion, second suggestion is this. Practice good listening skills. I'd be actively involved and interested in what others have to say. People will not open up to you if they don't feel safe and comfortable doing so. And especially if somebody is struggling with a particular sin, it's easy for them to already feel stigmatized and condemned because of what they're going through. So create an atmosphere by the way that you treat people that makes it okay for others to be imperfect. If you listen well, and if you genuinely care about what people have to say, it will help them feel more comfortable around you. I read this great quote online from Stephen Covey. He says this, quote, "Most people do not listen with the intent to understand. They listen with the intent to reply." End quote. Listen to people to understand what they're going through and empathize with them. So to be an effective burden bearer, first, be approachable and be available. Second, practice good listening skills. And then thirdly, balance grace and truth. Balance grace and truth in how you treat people. Sometimes it's necessary to confront people with the truths of Scripture and remind them of what God says. Do not tolerate or excuse sin in your life or in somebody else's. But at the same time, remember the gospel. As God has forgiven us and bears with us in our weaknesses and imperfections, you do the same to others. Forgive and bear with others in their struggles. Remember what I said. Treat people in a way that makes it okay for them to struggle and be imperfect, because all of us do. And then fourth suggestion, and finally, this isn't really a suggestion, it's actually a plug for a book. One of the most influential books I've read on this topic. Get a copy of a book called Safe People. Safe People. It's by Henry Cloud and John Townsend. Safe People. It's $8 on Amazon. It's worth the investment. This is one of the books that has helped me the most in building healthy relationships with other believers and being able to reach out to others. And this book will help you identify people who can bear your burdens, but it will also help you develop the relational skills necessary to be a better burden bearer yourself and be able to support others as well. In fact, a lot of the suggestions I've given are sort of condensed forms of what I've learned in that book. Safe People, Henry Cloud and John Townsend. Well, let me conclude with a personal story about what this has looked like in my own life. When I first moved to Chicago to attend Bible college in 2009, I was struggling at the time with a lot of anxiety issues and a lot of depression. And I didn't know anybody at Moody when I went there, but I knew that I needed to find some people who could support me in what I was going through. Now, just as a side note, I'm not saying that anxiety and depression are always sinful, but sometimes they can result from sinful attitudes or thoughts. But in any case, I knew that I needed somebody to help me through this, what I was going through. I knew I couldn't do it alone. And so I decided to reach out to the resident supervisor in my dorm at Moody. He and his family lived on the top floor of my dormitory in an apartment. He graduated from Moody himself in, I think, 2003. He was about 10 years older than me. And he oversaw the dorm that I lived in. And I only met him once briefly, but I could tell just from the way that he treated his wife, from the way that he treated his children, and from the way that he treated others, that he was somebody I really wanted to get to know. So I sent him an email and asked if he'd be willing to meet up with me. He got back to me right away, said he'd love to meet up with me. And so I met with him in his office. And we talked for a while and got to know each other. And from that point on, he became one of my closest mentors. He exemplified what it looks like to be approachable and to be available. As I mentioned, he lived on the top floor of the dormitory, and he told me that I was welcome to come up and visit him whenever I wanted, anytime. And I took him up on that offer many, many times while I was at Moody. And he also has 5 young children, so this was not an easy offer to make, but he did it. And whenever I needed to talk about something, or if I just wanted to hang out and relax, I always knew I would be welcome to visit him and his family. If they were having dinner and I walked in, they'd invite me to join them. In fact, one time I came in right as his children were all going to bed, and he was doing devotions with his children before bed, and I came in, and so he let me be a part of devotions, and I read the Bible story to his kids with him. One time I came up to visit him, and he was on his way to go shopping, and so I drove with him to the store, and we talked while we went shopping. Now, he was always willing to let me be a part of his life. And he even told me when I met him that I was always welcome to be a part of whatever him and his family were doing. He said, if I came to visit them and his family, they couldn't necessarily stop what they were doing at the moment, but they would always welcome me to join them and be a part of it with them. And over the 4 years I was at Moody, he helped me through numerous struggles that I had. He did so by listening, by offering advice when necessary, by praying for me, praying with me. And he was someone who was very open with me about his own life and willing to allow me to be imperfect, but at the same time, give me a nudge to help me grow. And I always appreciated how available he was to listen, to be a part of my life, to help me process what I was going through, and to point me to the Lord in every circumstance. He's left a very significant mark on who I am and on my own walk with the Lord. So how did he do it? Well, he did it by being willing to bear my burdens with me. He did it by being approachable in how he treats people, and he did it by making himself available to others. He did it by his willingness to share his life with me. He helped me by being willing to sacrifice his time for me. He did it by genuinely listening and caring. And he did it by being willing to get involved in what I was going through. And in the passage we've looked at in Galatians 6, Scripture calls us to do exactly that. It calls us to bear each other's burdens, to give sacrificially of our time and resources. It calls us to be genuinely involved in each other's struggles and hardships. Remember, just as it takes a village to raise a child, it takes a church to raise a Christian. If we're going to mature in Christ, we need the support of other believers. And there are other believers who need your support and encouragement now so they can grow. It takes a church to raise a Christian. Sanctification requires a community effort. We need each other here. So be willing to reach out to others for support. And be willing to support others as well. And by doing so, you will be God's instrument to help others grow to be more like Christ. Let's take a moment for reflection, and then I'll close this in prayer. Father, we thank you that you have given us this passage of Scripture. We thank you that you do desire to conform us to the image of your Son. We thank you for the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you would help us now through this text in Galatians to become a community that is willing to be involved in each other's lives. Pray that you would help us to be a community that is willing to sacrifice for one another, to help one another grow and mature. I pray that you would use this church community here to conform us to your image. I pray that Cherrydale would be a place where people feel safe and open about growing and receiving support for what it is that they are going through. Please help us to be that kind of a people, Lord. And please use us to conform other believers to your image. Please help us to support one another, love one another, and encourage one another. Help us to look to the cross of Christ, the highest example of love, and help us to love one another in response. Amen.